when the grenade exploded in his hand near Khe Sanh in Vietnam in 1967, Max Claylin thought his life was over. He was a radio engineer sent to the top of a hill to set up a radio station for the troops, landed via helicopter with two assistants, and seeing a grenade on the ground, he believed it had fallen off his flak jacket when he jumped off the helicopter, reached down to pick it up, and it exploded. He lost his right arm and his right leg and said as he was lying there, he thought his life was over. He fought to keep consciousness because he knew if he ever lost consciousness that he would not get up. Turns out he had 43 pints of blood, ended up losing both legs and one arm, and he said that was the easy part. The hard part was he didn't know who he was going to be because of this traumatic change to his life. There he was, a 26-year-old retired Army captain, and two legs missing, one arm missing, in a ward in Walter Reed Hospital, surrounded by other disabled Vietnam vets. He told this story about what they watched on TV. He said, "You'd think we would watch the war or the body count? No. There were two shows we watched. One was Laugh-In. The other was any cartoon." He said, "Because we thought we would never laugh again." But he did take on the hard part and figure out his life. He decided to go into public service and began to work for the rights of veterans to help other veterans. Ran for office, became the U.S. Senator from Georgia, served for two terms. And so he says that Hemingway was right when he said, "The world breaks everyone, and for some, they become strong in the broken places." Strong in the broken places. Max told his story to a documentary filmmaker, Cambridge Documentary Films. Then they entitled it Strong at the Broken Places. And in it, they tell Max's story and the stories of three other people who likewise face trauma, some physical, some emotional. And it is a really gripping viewing. Now, no one recommends trauma. It's not good for you, really. It is hurtful and dangerous. But you can't have post-traumatic growth without trauma. And that was the story of this film. It's also the story of Paul, who speaks about having a thorn in the flesh. A thorn in the flesh, you know, biblical scholars have toyed around with what could that possibly have been. He never really says what it is. Could have been vision loss, it could have been epilepsy, it could have been depression. It could have been so many things. All of them being a guess, really. But Paul describes it this way. He describes himself almost as being stabbed by a messenger of Satan sent to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Now, when he talks about a thorn in the flesh, he uses the Greek word, skolops. And that was a word that was used to describe the long wooden spear-type structures that were built at the time of war in the first century. You know, you would dig a pit, and you'd put these sticks that were sharpened on the end in it, kind of like an animal trap, only this was for people. And so they would hope that when the enemy soldiers came through, they would walk over the covering and fall into this pit and be impaled. They also used these same sharpened sticks as instruments of torture. And that's the word that Paul chose to talk about his thorn in the flesh. So when you read this, I don't want you to think of roses. Think of sharpened sticks. And three times he pleaded to have this removed from him. You know, he could have given up with this thorn in the flesh, whatever it was. But somehow he knew that his life was changed. And he tried three times, though, to get rid of it, to plead with God to deliver him from it. And this is the answer he got. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness." Power is made perfect in weakness. As I said, it's not really recommended to go seek after a trauma in order to have growth. But think about it. When's the last time you had an outstanding change in your life, a jump in spiritual growth, or a new appreciation for life, or relationships, a new way of seeing things, a change of heart? Those things generally don't arrive in the midst of a calm and peaceful time. They generally arise out of struggle or stress. Those are the times when we experience growth, what Max and others called post-traumatic growth. We all have stories like this. I know you do. I do as well. I remember when I was in my early 20s, I went to a regular doctor visit, and there was a lab technician I was working with at that day. And I noticed she wasn't feeling really well. She looked a little sad. I said, "Are you okay?" She said, "Well, not really. My mother died last month, and she was my best friend. I just went to her for everything. Every time I had a problem, I called her. She was so wise. She knew what to say. She knew how to tell me when I was doing something wrong in a really good way. And I would get mad, but I knew she was right. She was just so much a part of my life." And I remember thinking, I wonder what she's talking about. Because for my life, my trauma, unrecognized as trauma at that point, was nurture and mother do not happen in the same sentence, let alone person. Remembering my growing up years with a mother who had a serious drinking problem. Now, I also remembered, as a little bit of time went on, that at the age of 7, I had a very best friend who lived across the street from me. Her name was Debbie. I loved to go there for dinner. Debbie was an only child. I had 3 siblings. Debbie's mother and father greeted you at the door. "Hello. You're here to have dinner with us? Come on in. It's almost ready." My memories of dinner included shouting, crying, screaming, and breaking things. So I loved to go to Debbie's house. And my mother, I believe, got a little annoyed at the amount of invitations I accepted to eat dinner there. Now, Debbie was adopted, and we all knew this. One day, my mother was completely irritated at my asking one more time to have dinner at Debbie's house. And she said, "I don't know why you always want to go over there. She's not even a real mother." Trauma. We all had it, whether it be physical or emotional or spiritual. Everyone can tell a story about traumatic growth, a trauma that caused you to grow in some way. Doesn't matter if it's about raising children, financial management, chronic illness, serious illness, loss of a loved one. We can all tell those stories. But the takeaway of it, the takeaway of these stories and that film and our experience is that it can take us from isolation to community. If we listen to the stories of Max and those soldiers, you will find that they gathered strength from one another, whether they laughed together or encouraged each other or simply listened to each other talk about their pain or go through their pain. Our gathering here is about that, moving from isolation to community. That's what we do here. We move from isolation to community the same way the soldiers did. Now, there's one more person I need to tell you about in this film. Her name is Marcia Gordon. And Marcia was also a person who had very traumatic upbringing and adolescence, ending up on drugs and in jail. That was her bottom. She was in jail. She had suffered through her life, witnessing terrible domestic violence, learning it for herself, and ending up in jail. Well, this is how she says it. A woman came to help her with getting released, and she said, "I wanted to use her, but she wanted to help, not like it was her job, but a calling. She showed me one person wanted to do something for me without getting anything back. I wanted to be like that. How do you be like that? Where do you come from that you are like that? Who raised her? Who raised her?" Good question. But the answer, of course, is that by virtue of our baptism, God is raising us. We promised that, or someone promised it for us, or we renew that promise every day we take a step to be disciples. This is the place where it becomes real, where that isolation becomes community, where it is fine to share about the trauma and to learn about our growth. So Hemingway was right. Everyone, the world breaks everyone. And afterwards, some are strong at the broken places. But in the service of love, it seems that only broken hearts will do. May we, like Paul, for whom, by the way, this community is named, know that God's grace is really enough.